Hey guys, before we get into the episode, I want to give a quick plug to my friends at naptimeradio.com. I love these chicks to death. Heather and Kate are incredible. They put together a fantastic show that is funny and informative. They did a back to school episode recently. I was playing catch up over the weekend, and they talk about ways to spice up your kids' lunch, kind of like change it up, make it interesting. And it is awesome. Definitely helped me out a ton. So please check them out at naptimeradio.com. They are available on iTunes and Stitcher as well. This week's episode of the Dad Podcast has been brought to you by the paid subscribership of Christopher, Tom, and Michael. Thanks and enjoy the episode. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode 64, back by popular demand, almost a year and a half later. Kira Sultanovich, welcome. Welcome to my new studios.
I like your new studio. Has it been a year and a half?
Yeah, because it was April, I think, of last year.
Wow.
That I did the first episode.
Solo.
Solo, yeah. And you were my first guest. And yeah. And now you're podcasting as well. You have a very funny mom podcast. But now it's called The Kira Sultanovich Show.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But I will still take the funny mom compliment.
You should.
Yeah.
You should.
And Sultanovich is spelled three backward X's, a percentage sign. V-I-C-H.
You probably don't even remember this story, which is going to make it even better.
Okay.
Do you remember the first time that you and I worked together at Laughs Unlimited in Old Sacramento?
Old Sac.
And that was the week that the MC severely struggled with your name.
You know, that's happened so many times.
Yeah.
That it's just one of the many times.
Yeah.
But is this the time where he got mad at me when I corrected him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do. We talked about this last time. I totally forgot. You just reminded me.
Yeah.
What did he
say? My favorite part was to abbreviate the story for the new listener that didn't hear it when Kira was on the show before, obviously you have a name that I don't think is that hard, but not Smith. You know what I mean? It's not...
No, it used to be Smith. I changed it to Sultanovich.
That's your stage name?
Yeah.
To make the website search harder?
To have a hook. You know, everyone needs a hook.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure your last name wasn't Warsham, which just sounds like you put something way too hot in your mouth, and then it's burning the top of your roof of your mouth, and you're like,
it is a common English name.
It
is.
From England?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
There's a whole bunch of us in Virginia. I don't know if... here's the thing that I love about my family, my immediate family. They say, there's a bunch of us in Virginia, Warshams. I don't know if we're related.
Okay, if you have relatives in Virginia with their last name Warsham, you have just written a new Jeff Foxworthy joke. Because you know how he does those jokes where he's like, oh no, or is it Ron White? One of them, they all kind of blend in for me. One of them is like, Warsham.
It's Jeff Foxworthy. He has
it's Jeff Foxworthy.
Redneck dictionary.
Hey, you going to wear those dirty pants or are you going to Warsham?
Yeah, which is how I tell every MC. How they go, how do you say your last name? I say Warsham, like a redneck says, Warsham dishes. That's how. That's my line. That's what I go to.
Well, I had one guy bring me up on stage at the Skyline in Wisconsin, Appleton, Wisconsin. And I actually did this. I did a little bit about it on my Showtime special, where he just gave up in the middle.
I remember this, yeah.
He just...
Solo.
Bada, bada, bada. Like, as if I was opening for Journey at a concert stadium. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he got fired the next day. Not because he mispronounced my last name.
Oh, good.
Because he was... just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I don't mean, I hate to say that, but it's kind of the truth. Like, why else would he get fired? It wasn't like, you had too many nachos and we're losing money on you. It was, he just, I don't know what his deal was. And God bless him, right?
Yeah.
That's what you say to someone who's,
special needs.
Right. And he asked me to drive him to the bus station because I had a car, I had a rental. And so I drove him the next morning. God, yes.
That is a crazy level of depression. Yeah. That is like...
And it's silence, right? We're driving.
You just got fired as an MC in Wisconsin.
And he's taking the bus back down to Detroit.
Yeah, you're on the road as an MC.
And you're already on a bus. Like, just having a bus, just a Greyhound ride is already sad. And we're sitting in silence, and then finally he turns to me and he goes, you know, I didn't mean to mispronounce your last name.
Oh, no.
You didn't have to get me fired. And I was just...
Ballsy. What a ballsy guy to ask you for a ride when he thinks you got him fired.
Right.
I'm going to confront this bitch. Right. I'm going to tell her.
So I pulled my Neon or whatever I was renting. Capri, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever I was renting. I pulled it over and I said... I did not get you fired. Are you serious right now? Do you really think I would fire somebody just because you can't read?
Yeah.
It's not your fault you're not hooked on phonics. It's not a big deal. I don't care. People mispronounce my last name all the time. He was so convinced that it was me.
Well, that's what this guy said to me at one point. He said, he goes, I don't understand why she's got such a big deal with her name. I said, she doesn't have a big deal with her name. I said, she's being very nice about it. You've gone six shows and mispronounced it every single time.
I didn't say anything for the first two, I don't think.
First three to four. It was by the second show Friday. We'd had a Wednesday show, a Thursday show, and a first show on Friday. And it was before the second show Friday that you were like, okay, let's just, not even angry, but just almost making a bit out of it. Let's just try it now.
Let's rehearse.
He perceived it as you being passive aggressive. But in actuality, you were just saying, let's laugh about this and just shake it out. And then, but at the same time, let's say it right, you know? And you were like, say, Kira Soltanovich. And he's like, I'm not going to dance for you. I'm not going to, you know, and he got all angry. But my favorite part was he came back and he said.
I did shoot at his feet. I mean, in all fairness, you did. Pow, pow, pow.
And the cigarillo was a nice touch, too, I thought. That was really maybe what pushed him over the edge.
Probably.
I found it humorous, but comedy is subjective, right? Not everybody understands old Western references.
Dance, Sultana, bitch. You know, that's also what happened to me once at a very religious school. They told me not to swear. They told me not to swear. No cursing. No bad language. No F-bombs. Do not swear. Keep it clean. Yes. Keep it clean like this, like Jesus machine. Like, chick, 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 chick. Keep it clean. Keep it clean. All right. It's not a problem. I won't swear.
Yeah.
I'm walking down the hallways of this college. It was like St. Carrie, Catherine, Mary, you know, keep us from hope and Jesus, Savior, Presbyterian, whatever college. And of Immaculate Conception. And walking down the hallways and I see... Tonight, comedy in the main Jesus room, or whatever they called the room. Kira Sultana, bitch.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding? Can I say the word fucking?
Yeah, you go fucking nuts. You can't curse. This is the opposite of that.
You can't Google. Just Google. If you just Google my first name, Kira, and just put in stand-up or comedy or ha-ha or, I mean... Or write S-O-L-T-A-N. And Google will... Did you mean Sultana Vitch with a V?
Yeah, not bitch.
I mean, every kid in their front pocket has the world next to their balls. You have the world next to your taint. Yeah. And you can't double check?
No.
So I was so angry. Because I'm already a Jew about to burst into flames going into this...
Does your skin hive up?
It does. It gets a little red
itchy?
And swelly. Yeah.
Do you do like a chamomile lotion there? Or what is that
on
stuff
my
that
horns,
you put on chickenpox?
On my horns, I'll put like a, calamine.
Calamine? Is that what it is?
Yeah, my horns.
Okay.
Yeah. That I didn't swear my entire show, but I just used my last name whenever I wanted to say a bad word. I was like, so check it out. These Sultana bitches were all up in my business. So anytime
I
wanted
to... Did they laugh?
They had to after a while. They were mortified because the priests were in the front row.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you couldn't spell check just because the priest was going to be walking down the hallway?
Yeah.
B-I-C-H.
At least they didn't put the T. That would have been too on the nose, I guess.
Yeah. just ridiculous.
Well, real quick, just so I don't leave anybody who is like, what happened with this guy? Because it was pretty funny, is that... I'd only known you that. No, I think I'd bumped into you like at the Laugh Factory or something.
Met. Yeah.
But anyway, my favorite part was that he goes, "Well, I just don't want her to blackball me in L.A." Like, and I was like, "Okay, buddy. Like, listen. A, she's used to the name thing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
B, she's not that kind of person. And C, like, your material's definitely going to handle that for you. Like,
right.
Don't even worry.
Let's start with Kern County. Let's not blackball you.
Who burns that kind of calories?
Right. That, like, yeah. And does he even do stand up anymore?
I think he still is.
I can't remember
his
name.
He's featuring in headline. I think he's doing like triple runs and stuff like that.
Sweet.
He had a YouTube channel that I was, you know, he's a nice guy. Like, he's a nice guy who had a rough week. Like, I have no problem with the guy. Neither do you, I'm sure. Like, who cares? But
here's the thing. When you first meet a comic, right, on the road, or comics, whatever kind of show you're doing, and you have those, like, few green room conversations or before the show interactions, that's really where you know if this comic is going to be a decent person to kind of just hang out with, a decent person on stage. You can kind of get a sense.
Yes.
I'm not saying everyone is the same backstage or offstage as they are on, but they're going to give you some really good kind of CSI type of clues. You know what I mean?
An emotional black light being shined on them.
Absolutely. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. And that's not yogurt on their pants. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is their insides.
That is
coming
what they
out.
Choose to do with their time.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just if they can banter backstage, if they can have a good time, if they're quiet and shy but still loosey-goosey, you can tell, you know what I mean? And he was just a nervous Nelly. He was just kind of like one of those guys who could never like land a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just backstage, just talking, shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And if you can't land a backstage joke, you know what I mean? With like a nice little dismount, like when those little Asian chicks like throw their hands up in the air, like, "I'm done, judges."
Yeah.
You know, that's it. I'm 18, but I look 8. I'm never going to menstruate. Boom. That's me. You can't land that dismount.
Yeah.
You're going to struggle in more ways than just my last
name. Well, you probably don't remember
this
either.
I don't.
My other favorite part was that he goes, "You know, I don't think my name matters. I'm just going to bring it." And unfortunate for him, he had not been bringing it that entire week. Like, it was a perfect storm of this guy putting his foot in his mouth,
he didn't
unfortunately.
Even pack it.
No.
You know what I mean? He forgot it. He left it.
It was, the opposite of the American Express card from 1987. He completely left home without it.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. I forgot what the slogan was. Thank you so
You're
much.
You're welcome. Later up, we're going to be doing a Kibbles and Bits chunk.
Can I give you... Can I give you... Where is the beef, though? Seriously. I really would love to
Nobody's
know.
Ever found it. I think
Can
Obama
you imagine
hit it.
If your wife said that to you during intimate marriage times, where's the beef? Can you imagine? She just started giving you like 80s commercials.
Yes. But all vaguely alluding to my junk.
Like, right.
Yeah.
She's like, "Oh, Kibbles and Bits." Right? You're like doing all your manly thrashing.
I've got my moves.
And
stirring
she's like,
coffee.
"Oh, where's my life alert? I've fallen and he can't get it up." I just think there's something there.
I think you're right.
You guys should explore.
I think
you've been
we
together
will.
For
Keep
a while.
It fresh.
You
Why
gotta
not?
Do
We're
something.
We're high school sweethearts. Yeah.
You
sex
guys
is boring
high
now.
School sweethearts.
Yeah,
Jesus,
yeah.
That's awful.
It is. It is
that
not.
Is the worst thing I've heard all day.
The worst. Worse than that is that everybody looks at you. And go, man. I wish. Don't get me wrong. I love my wife, but I will never have a threesome. I will never.
Well, you were banging a high school chick.
Yeah.
That's the positive. You
right.
got to look at the positive. Hey, everyone wants to bang a high school chick.
Right. Forever. I mean,
not when you were in high school, though. You didn't know what you were doing.
No. I still don't. No. That's the other sad part about it. Is I think on some level, we're still having high school sex. Like, that's what I think happens when you marry your high
Does
school.
Does she always think her dad's going to walk in?
We do. It's very quick.
That's
because
kinda,
we have.
Yeah.
We only have the half hour before her mom gets off work. Like, that's all we have. It's very.
Do you know, I was once, not having sex, but cut school to have my high school boyfriend at our house. We didn't have sex. We never had sex, but we were sex adjacent.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, we were...
Was it a situation where it was hopeful that you would, or it was that you never knew when mom and dad were coming in?
Because I knew that my private place was for me and Jesus only.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you were saving yourself.
For Jesus.
For Jesus himself.
Waiting. I'm waiting for that second coming.
Yeah, literally.
He was actually, I am a Jew, so I really don't care what Jesus says.
Interesting that you can't even make that word sound complimentary.
No. I can say it that way, though, if you said it that way.
Can I say it because we're friends? Can I say Jew? Is Jew a bad term?
No. I mean, unless you are one, then it's awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then you live with all the Jew stuff. Jew parents, the guilt.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I know
for Jewish guys, the huge penis.
Oh, right.
You know, that's something that no one knows.
I believe you know it. It comes with the nose thing, doesn't it? Isn't that, that's a thing. It's a hand and feet and nose. You've never heard this?
A huge penis, huge nose?
Yeah, if guys have big noses, big hands, or big feet, they have huge cranks.
Mm-hmm.
No?
I mean, I guess.
Maybe. I always thought it was a thing that was started by Jewish guys to say, let's throw our hat in the ring.
Then my penis
Let me get this yarmulke
enormous. Throw my yarmulke in the ring. I would have my boyfriend over because my parents had a big, huge jacuzzi tub in their bathroom. They had a huge bathroom. And so, you know, that was like the cool thing to do. And my dad once came home from work to have lunch at home.
Did he know you were upstairs, or just had to sit quiet, or what?
I'm sure he probably figured it out, but I'm sure there's like a part, like, you don't have girls, so you probably never really worry about this. You'll probably be like high-fiving your sons if you ever walked in, in high school.
I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy?
No.
But like, I think fathers of girls, they kind of, there's like two kinds. The kinds that want to catch the guys and like get their rifle ready, and the kind, this is my dad, that want to ignore and deny that anything's happening. So they pretend.
Because that's the thing we don't think of when, I think, as we grow up. Like, because there is when I walk, there's going to be a time where my sons will, A, start touching themselves.
Oh, I'm sure they already
have. More than ever
be
imaginable.
Don't they touch themselves?
Oh, yeah,
now?
Yeah. But now it's like, I'm aware of it.
Right.
Like now, like, even with my 2-year-old, which is a whole other thing that I think makes people want to write letters, but now he's very curious about me. Or whatever, like he's like, I'll be brushing my teeth and he comes up and grabs my junk and my boxers or whatever.
Right.
And I don't make a big deal
Stop
out of it.
Stop brushing with a hard on.
Well, it's the morning.
Yeah, but.
That's on my wife. Let's be honest.
Tartar control should not get you like excited. Do you see what I'm saying? Like you're brushing your teeth and you're like, oh, yeah.
My teeth
I'm fucking
may not.
Tartar up.
Oh, I like any kind of battle, any kind of win, anything at all. I get a woody when the toast, the butter melts properly within a toast.
Yeah, that's true.
Like when anything that is perfection and clean and nice, it's I'm at full salute. I'm locked and loaded.
So what do you do when your child grabs your
Well,
junk?
At first I did like there was a weird dance, you know what I mean? Because he's at the right height, you know what I mean? So, and I'm trying to shimmy around.
Is it a weird dance because you're white? Are you trying to dance normal and it just comes out weird because you can't dance?
Weirdly enough, because it's all hips, it might make me feel Latin. I might actually improve. If I went out on the dance floor pretending to not let my son touch my hog, then I might be like...
Relax. You don't have to call it a hog. Relax.
Listen.
Relax.
There's a lot of compensation that's going to happen with the woman in the room. Okay?
Look, it's too much. A hog just sounds like something you put a blue ribbon on at a county fair.
It would win at least first runner-up.
But that's not... That's a terrible visual. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
Like it just sounds like something like coming at you, just all big and sweaty and muddy. You don't want that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You really have been with the same woman your whole life. You need to call it my stallion.
Okay.
It can't be like, yeah, I don't want her to touch armadillo.
Why?
It's just a
That's a hard shell.
I know.
I could curl it up maybe.
It's weird.
Let her run over it with a car and see that it's just fine.
It's just, you need a better animal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll workshop this. I'm going to workshop
it. Yeah, it can't be my peccary. It's too close to a warthog.
Well, that's why I think peccary implies short, like hard consonants imply smallness. I think that's why hog became a thing, is that soft sounds sound large and round and big.
I guess that's true.
This took a real bad turn.
This took a bad turn. All right. So I'm so sorry. I keep interrupting you.
Yeah. So my son will try. Now my new move is I figure I'm just not going to make a big deal out of it. And then eventually he's going to realize. Because I think the reason he likes it now is because I go, hey, no, no. and I'm making it taboo. So we'll find out what happens when he's 30.
So you think that's why he likes it? I'm going to try that with my husband. Hey, no. Hey. Like, this is working.
This is totally working.
My hog. What if a chick called it a hog? That's terrible.
Called her hoo-hoo a hog?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything you could do that wouldn't turn a guy on.
Oh, okay. I don't really think. My peccary. Do you speak to your sons with like the proper biological
penis.
Yeah, penis. Do you call it penis?
Yes.
The appropriate yes. What's the word I'm looking for? I want to say ergonomic, but that's not the word.
Well, a lot of them are.
But what's the word I'm looking for? Like the appropriate
terminology,
the biological
clinical
definition.
We use penis and vagina.
Okay.
I will sometimes refer to it as junk, but they only call it their penis.
Okay, good.
So that's what. And I have a moment with my son where he was running around, and now that we have a house and a yard, even because they lived in their apartments, they live like hillbillies now, and they like to run around the backyard naked.
Well, because they're worshims.
Yeah. Well, and it's great because we have that fence that you saw when you came back here.
Yes.
That's a school. So I can't wait for my sons to be the first juvenile registered sex offenders, because it's some afternoon they're going to come home early from school and the kids are going to be playing and they're going to be running around naked, and then they're going to have to knock on everybody's door because they flash themselves to little children.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's exactly how it works or if I understand the laws, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's kind of different.
Okay.
Did you guys do the Megan's Law thing when you purchased a home?
No. I'm not I don't know if it's that I prefer ignorance or if I'm just I think in my impression of myself is that I don't really think that stuff is as bad as you think it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I look around the neighborhood and there's a creepy guy who doesn't have water and gas, but when you look at him from the outside, but he's a nice guy.
He
always wants to bring the kids over.
Usually describe the lunatics.
Okay.
Is he wearing anybody else's skin? Look closely
next
time.
Not every day.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, you might want to keep it. That's kind of a red flag.
All right. Well, to each his own. I don't judge, Kira. So maybe,
I do.
Yeah, maybe you wouldn't be so happy in a neighborhood
I'm
like mine.
Very judgy. I am at the grocery store, and the dude asks, paper or plastic? And I say, plastic? So you can put it over my head and suffocate me and my child? And then I run out of there crying, and I fill out a police report.
You should. That's good. You're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Well, what he does is he was sitting on my wife's lap, just so I could tell you, and he was holding his penis. Both of my boys are not circumcised because we are not Jewish.
Okay.
So that means that they can hold the skin of it.
Right.
And he's going, pshoo, 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 pshoo.
Sure.
So that's them touching it. That's them having fun with it, I guess. What does your boy do any of this?
Well, he, you know, once the diapers came off, right, now it's like he rubs up against me. And I feel like I don't want to be part of this sexual experiment. But what do you do?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you wait for him to finish? I don't want to be rude.
Yeah, I would. That's where my family, we talked about it even before when we walked in the door. My family is very weird. In that sense where, like, even when they were very little and they first found it and they would just fiddle with it with their fingers or whatever, and I was changing their diaper, I would let them finish.
Yeah.
And so that they could, you know, find out about it. I don't want it to be a taboo thing.
No, you don't. You don't. You don't. No, he humps stuff.
Yeah.
Is that... Did your kids ever do that?
Not that I've noticed. Jacob is weird. The older one is like, he's very anti his junk. Like, Jack, however, he wants to touch your junk, his junk, everybody else's. He wants to poke his mom's nipples.
He wants to go to a junkyard.
He does.
He wants to pet a junkyard dog, touch the junkyard's junk.
He went on eBay and found the junkyard dog WWF wrestler and purchased it.
Wants to touch his junk.
He did, and that's all he does on it.
He watches Sanford and Sons.
They had a basket of Barbies. He only wanted the naked Barbies at his preschool and was touching her junk.
No,
like and just like not where he knew what he was doing, but he was just bending her in half.
He knows.
You think he does? Good for him.
Yeah.
Maybe I will be the high five dad.
Did you hear under his breath, "You like that?
Dirty little sultana bitch."
You like that, you little sultana bitch? You like that, you little junkyard dog?
Get ready for my hog.
My hog. You got to find a better animal.
I know.
Yeah. Like an eagle.
Okay.
Don't you want your penis to soar?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Soar like a penis. Okay. you know, I like having a boy.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking forward to raising a dude who's cool and will be cool with chicks.
Yes. That's what I, when you said I would be high-fiving, if I found out my sons were sexually active, I would sit down and have a conversation with them to make sure they understood that girls their age, sex is something very different to them.
Yes.
Very different.
It's like how shopping is different.
And that because you're a, because you're a guy, I think that it's, you have a certain responsibility that you can't just have sex with a 16-year-old girl and then say, see you later. Like that affects, in my opinion, tell me if I'm being sexist here,
no.
But in my opinion, that affects them on an emotional level and can actually leave like a, this is a horrible choice of word, but a residue like that stays with them, you know,
like a sticky residue.
You need a palm olive to get that emotional.
Okay, like when you put like when they put like those price tags on items and you
need a little
off.
Goo-gone to get the emotional baggage off of it.
When I was a kid, my dad would go shopping like this. He'd walk into a store, he'd buy the first thing he saw that looked like a color that he liked and maybe his size. And he'd get out.
Yes.
My mom would shop. She'd invest time. She'd look around. She'd do a loop first. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take a look at everything. Try things on. Hold it up to her face. Smile. This makes me feel good. This completes me.
Yes.
I know that these shoes will make me feel like a better person.
Yes.
That's how women are with sex. They want to sit there. They want to appreciate themselves and what they're doing. And does this make my soul sing?
And am I wrong? I feel
not
like
always. There are some whores out there.
That's the one that you
but
look
dudes
for.
Dudes are like in and out, and I'm done. And I forgot about that whole shopping experience. I remember shopping experiences from when I was a teenager with my best friends and how it made me feel.
See, yes,
it's different.
I'm the same. See, here's the, this is where I think I may be. Like the sexual Jesus, not in the intercourse way.
Okay, settle down.
Huh? Hold on. Hear me out first.
Really, this is how cults happen.
Trust me, you're going to be in on this. You're going to want in on this. You're going to want your son in on this. Is that I feel that there's a very strong chance that I might be walking the fine line between man and woman. So when I first had my sexual experience, the girlfriend that I had at the time, I wanted to have a dialogue with her to talk about like what she felt, what she experienced. I wanted to make sure that I was sensitive to her feelings and her needs and her desires. And she, of course, didn't want to talk about it or whatever because she's, you know, 16 and or she was 17, I think. But she's like, no, what? No, let's not, you know,
and
kind
you were
of thing.
12, so you were more confused about what you were feeling.
Exactly. And I was hoping she could fill in some of the blanks. but I had almost every girl I had sex with, let me make sure I think about this first, besides my wife and I think one other girl maybe.
Well, you've had a lot of sexual partners then.
I've had 4. I don't mean to brag. Wife is number 5.
I've had 4 today.
You are a married woman.
I know.
Oh, open marriage. Is that how the Jews do it?
Well, they were all through a hole in a sheet.
Oh, that's
I'm not an animal.
Okay.
Yeah, we kept it clean,
that's
kosher.
Good. That's good.
Yeah, I mixed my cheese with his meat. But, you know,
he
can't always be perfect. That is really gross. Please go on. Just realized that was really gross.
But so my point is that I because I had these girls liked having sex with me for the, I think their first time because I knew what it was like. Like I remember about the 3rd time I did it, which I know everybody's laughing. Oh yeah, whatever. I did it like 100. But what my point is that this girl who it was her first time. I go, listen, trust me. This is the way that you know. Just hang back. I'm not going to do anything to hurt you or whatever.
Wow, that sounds like you're wearing someone's skin when you say that.
I know, right?
I don't have any running water or electricity. I don't want to hurt you.
This is also, I told her that she wanted to do it in a hot tub. I said, I don't know that that's a good idea for the first, but she's like, nope, this is how I want it to be done.
Oof.
So we were actually in my parents' hot tub.
And she thought it was a time machine.
And we did not go back and meet Craig Robinson at all.
That sounds awful. A hot tub for your first time?
Yeah.
So she still has a yeast infection to this day, I guarantee it.
I think she actually might be impregnated with my father's child from all the sex my parents had been having in that hot tub is what I think. At least some STD that my stepmother had. At least at
the very end. Oh, my God. That hurt my future children's genitalia. That is an awful
thing
to think about.
Yeah. But anyway, my point was, is that I was always, and always have been, like, Uber sense. And it's funny because there's a lot, I don't think it really is true. This is my new working theory, but it might just be to compensate for the fact that I feel emasculated in just day-to-day life, is that I thought that whoever you're with, the other person takes on that other kind of role, not because they adapt it, but because that's who you're attracted to. So
right.
Natalie and I, as I've said many times on the show, have had fights where, or a fight where, she said she got tired of me, you know, saying, listen, this is what we need to discuss. And she's like, can we just make up and have sex already? And I said, no, because I'm upset. And do you know how emasculating it is that I have to say that, you know, kind of thing? Because
right.
That's who I was, especially when I was younger.
Now I think that's a good quality to have, though.
I think it is unless you're my wife.
Like, right.
You know what I mean? Like, this is my theory. Any man listening to this show, if they were in the middle of a fight and his wife stopped and said, can we just stop and have makeup sex? He's like, oh, my God, yes, thank God. Let's
right.
just move on
right.
past this.
Yeah.
And any woman, I'm guessing, I know these are stereotypes I'm dealing with, but any woman would be like, yeah, I would love to have a man who thinks that just because we worked out a social issue doesn't mean that we have to bump uglies immediately following. Like, that would also be nice. You know what I mean? I choke up at rom-coms. I like those kinds of movies, you know?
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
Here's what my working plan for my sons is, I want to raise them, not necessarily to be gentlemen in the chivalrous sense, but
right.
I want them to be emotionally aware. And I want to tell them that, listen, it's to me, it's a much better plan for them to have, if they can, have sex with a chick who's in her 20s than if another girl that is their age. Just because I think that it's...
So you're telling them to go find... like
statutory rape situations.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure I was clear. Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think nobody loses in that sense. I was joking with the preschool director about how she said something like... I can't remember. We have very inappropriate conversations, her and I. But she said something about, I think, one of the kids getting touched or something by the teacher, like my kids or something. I go, please, he'd be lucky. He'd be lucky
what?
To have. I go, I'm the guy who if my son came home and said that the chemistry teacher was banging me, you know, like that happens in the news
right,
all the time.
Right.
Then I'd be like, awesome. That's right. Keep your mouth shut. Everything's fine.
So you're saying you're going to get an A.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like if you did it
right. So what you're saying is you don't have to do that homework.
Yeah.
Let's go play ball.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We're not calling the cops. We're not doing any of that. You have a book that you can write later on.
You know, I do feel like there is a sense of if a young boy is having sex with his older teacher, this is so awful to say, but it is a big deal because maybe emotionally they're just confused. It might jack them up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like just something. But like sexually, it's not as big of a deal. It's so terrible to say.
It's not. It's not. It's to me, it's normal. It makes it kind of makes sense. And here's what I think it boils down to is what you're trying to say, too, is that when I see the guy who looks like he's in eighth grade, but he could easily pass for a junior in high school.
Right.
And he's the one who's been sleeping with the chemistry. I'm not worried about that guy. You know what I mean? He's got some testosterone levels that are flowing through him that he can hang
well,
with what's going on.
What I'm worried about is the hormones in his food. Why are his parents not giving him organic milk?
Well.
Because you shouldn't look like a junior in high school when you're 12.
Okay. Well, but you see what I'm saying. You're picking up what I'm putting down. My point is also that if it's a guy who, you know, maybe look close to like what I did in eighth grade, that there may be a victim situation.
So
but
you're saying, why does this 28-year-old woman need to be humping a 12-year-old who looks like a 12-year-old? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Like, what's her deal?
Yes, and I think that means that there's something up with her and that he's also like got a target on him emotionally.
Right.
However, if you're, you know, you're the captain of the, you know, football team and the 28-year-old or 30-something-year-old teacher wants to relive some of her youth, I think nobody gets hurt in that situation.
Okay, let me pose this to you.
I'm listening.
You are a 16-year-old girl,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure you've fantasized about being a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing it right now.
I know, yeah. You are twirling the cable like it's your a braid,
hair.
A little hair. Yeah.
Yes. I'm getting in character.
Good. You're a 16-year-old girl. You are on the volleyball team, let's say, in high school,
that
right?
That would be me.
Your coach
so far, on the nail.
Is Miss Scott, who was my coach in junior high, though, so different, you know, schools, but who was a lesbian.
Uh-huh.
And she's giving you eyes and putting fingers up you.
No.
That's bad.
That's bad.
Why?
Because my point is that there is a difference at that age, especially between guys and girls, and that for girls it means something different sexually to
okay.
them.
Okay, you are you. You're a boy, 16, on the baseball team, yep. and your gay male coach
yes.
wants to put fingers in you.
Yes. Ooh, now you got me. You got me.
Boom! Yeah. Did I just blow your mind?
Because here's the
Let's
thing.
Let's go to commercial.
Teaser. Because here's the thing. If I am a homosexual young man, I don't necessarily feel that that could be an issue. But if I am not, you know
no,
what I mean?
No, you're homosexual.
I am homosexual.
You're
homosexual.
Yeah, you are 16. In this day and age, 16-year-old boys can totally come out.
Yep.
They are gay.
Yep.
They love it. They're fierce.
Yep.
Right? Whatever. Or they're not. Or they're just like a gay guy that likes sports, which is
I don't
also...
think I have a problem with that.
So you're okay with him... with the coach
yep.
who is gay, who is openly gay.
Yeah.
And the school is like, yeah, you're our coach and we're cool with it and it's fine and you
yeah.
should have a job. Openly gay coach wanting to let's not even go to sex.
Okay.
Just wants to make out with an 18-year-old. Let's say the student is 18 at school.
Yeah.
I've put a lot of interesting
well, if
details.
It's a, hold on. So it's an 18-year-old
Yeah, you're a senior
kid.
In high school. You're a senior in high school. You're 18 already.
And then like, now, and I'm banging around with the baseball coach.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, late 20s, early 30s, something
sure,
like that. Again,
sure.
I think I see no problem.
And I just want to say, good looking, you know, like,
yeah,
he's gay.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. He's not a douche.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you all the backstory. grew up in suburban Orange County, you know,
right.
so his parents do well.
Connecticut. Probably from Connecticut, where everybody's happy. Nice.
He has a mild dust allergy.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's just like a little asthma. So that's why it's kind
no,
of like
I know
cool that he's a coach. So it makes you feel like, hey, I've overcome.
But he also has vulnerability.
He's vulnerable.
His allergies make him have a little. He's
really
not a complete predator.
I really want this to be a real person now. He sounds like a cool guy.
Right.
He loves movies. His
yes.
hobbies include, you know, parasailing.
Uh-huh.
Like when you do it yourself, though,
yep.
not with a boat.
Okay, like
yeah.
a hang gliding.
A hang gliding
yeah,
guy,
you
yeah.
run off the edge of a cliff.
So he has cool hobbies.
Yep.
Two dogs.
Mm.
Oh, did that throw you over?
A little bit.
Right? Because then who's taking care of them during the day while he's coaching. And banging 18-year-olds?
Yeah, no. Now I'm going to...
Douche.
I'm glad you
Fuck
gave the full
guy.
Backstory. I'm
Fuck
pulling...
that guy!
Yeah, no, that guy's a predator.
Don't get dogs if you can't walk them all day long
right.
and take care of them.
Yeah, I don't, and don't do that bullshit thing. Well, that's why I have two, because they have a friend.
Friend,
to hang,
no.
You are the pack leader. Cesar Millan, if he taught us nothing before going bankrupt, it was that.
Did he go bankrupt?
Yeah.
Why?
I think he... I don't know. I think he just wasn't... doing well with his money, and then when the money stopped coming in, that's what I heard. My dad told me this. He's not Wolf Blitzer. I should make that known. But
why would you say your dad's not Wolf Blitzer?
Because it's not like he's.
But he has a beard.
A news reporter. He does have a beard.
He does
and
have
gray
a beard,
hair.
And he has gray hair. So he might fucking be Wolf Blitzer.
He's also banged around in a hot tub. We know that. So.
And your dad has astigmatism.
He does. He does have
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so he wears glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so far, he does sound like
you know
Wolf Blitzer.
He is qualified as a journalist.
You just took your phone out of your crotch. Is it? Oh, in your... Don't... Why is your
what?
Phone... It drives me crazy.
What?
In 30 years from now, you're going to call me up and say, Kira, I have 25 testicles. I should have listened to you when
well,
you said, why is my, why are you
You may have
your
heard
phone?
Early on in the show, my phone started ringing because I forgot to put it on vibrate, right?
Right.
So I set it, I took it out of my pocket. I just set it here so it wouldn't be a distraction. It's in the chair. It's not actually on my
it's
crotch.
It's not in your taint?
No.
Okay, because
it's
it
on the
like...
edge of the chair. And All then right. I was like, oh, I don't want that to be there. So I set it here. But if it vibrates here, then it comes through the microphones. I could set it over here and then it's safe. I'll do that. There we go.
Okay, but I'm just saying, don't,
You're
everyone
right.
listening.
I'm done having kids though.
Doesn't matter. Do you want 27 balls? Right now you have two. You can barely keep up with two.
If I had 27 balls, then I could think I could call it a hog. I think it works then. I think, in fact, now it's going back in the chair. I'm putting it right back in the chair. I'll show you. I'll see you in 20 years.
Yeah, you
Look
could.
Look forward to a chat roulette picture of my hog.
Chat roulette?
That's an old thing. It's oh. gone. Here's something, though, that I was curious to talk to you about.
Oh, yeah, this is your show. I forgot.
No, we're having fun. That's what we do.
How long do you do?
About an hour. We're at 40 minutes, so
oh, wow.
we're good. Is that I recently had this fight. How is your relationship with your in-laws and or your husband's relationship with your parents?
Oh, jeez. Why are you asking this? This is kind of freaky, almost like a psychic reading.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Because this last weekend, I had some shit go down with my in-laws that has me fucking raving insane.
Okay,
so
why don't you go
I'll
first?
I'll go first. Okay.
You go first.
I'm always afraid to go first because I talk a lot. But here's the thing.
It's your show.
People listen to the show. They are aware of my relationship with my mother-in-law. She was here. She fell. We thought she broke her wrist in this room. She didn't break her wrist. There was nothing fucking wrong with her. But Natalie had to come home, blah, blah, blah. The whole time she's here, this is what happens. She comes to visit. Natalie works full-time. So it's really, I get to visit with the person I like the least. That's what she really is doing.
Does she know that you don't like her?
She has to have some inkling. It's not like, I try to put on a happy face, but I'm tired of kissing her ass. And I didn't do a horrible job this time around. Like, There's a whole other backstory that's not worth going into where I essentially said they can come this weekend. We had friends coming over, but they cannot show up before 7 o'clock, and they did. And I said, if they did, I would make her visit here a living hell and just punish her constantly for being here. And to tell my wife, because it's something that I feel like is being done to me. But I'm a better person than that, so I of course sucked it up. But anyway, she's doing every time she's talking, oh, Justin, you're such an amazing you're just so, these kids are so lucky. You know, most dads, they don't know what to do. They can't change diapers, but you do everything for these children.
Well, that's nice. That sounds nice.
Right. Store that. I go, well, thank you, Barbara. Thank you very much. And, you know, and she's like, I just can't, you cook and you clean and you do the laundry. Natalie's just so lucky to have you,
okay,
right?
Okay, I'm storing so this too.
Natalie said, you know, Natalie's father's health has been waning, you know, and so she's like, we need to make a trip to go up there for a weekend.
Where's up there?
Modesto.
Got it.
And so she moved some days off so she can have a full weekend off. I had a job up there that would pay for the trip. So I'm like, great, let's go up there. So we go up there. She gets a day to visit. Dad's doing great. On the drive up there, very smart of my wife. On the 5-hour drive up to Northern California, about 20 minutes in, she goes, there's something I need to talk to you about. And I said, okay. She goes, I want to tell you now. She said, it's something my mother said that kind of bothered me a little bit. And I just wanted you to be aware of it because I don't like not telling you stuff. And I go, okay. I said, I started laughing because I'm like, it's got to be pretty bad. Now, when you hear it, it's not bad, I guess. But if you have been listening to the show long enough to know the relationship I have with my mother-in-law, it's really fucked up bullshit. She told, when she was talking to Natalie, my wife, I wasn't around. She said, Natalie, I just want to tell you that when I was there, Justin yells at the kids a lot. Like a lot.
Okay.
And I think you should be aware of it. And so my wife said, well, you know, he had a lot going on. We just moved into the house. He was still managing the building. And I said, and I had already snapped at that point. I go, no, fuck you very much. It has nothing to do with how much I had going on. I yell at our children because that is the way that they will listen to me. I don't fucking hit them. I don't put cigarettes out on them. But let me I'm going to backpedal one half step more. Her, so far, the two children that she has, sans my wife.
Okay, I'm not your child. Don't yell at me. I'm sitting here listening very
attentively. Don't you fucking take her side. Don't you fucking take her side.
I'm going to call your mother-in-law and be like, you're right. Okay.
No, here's my point, though. You're right, because I do get heated. Her two children, she has a daughter who is a pretty sweet lady, but says shit like, hey, we're going to get a season pass so we could come and visit you more.
A season pass to L.A.?
To Disneyland.
Okay.
To Disneyland. I'm sorry. I'm laughing about me yelling because I didn't know it. And that gets me in my head to go, if this bitch is fucking right, I'm going to be so much more angry. But here's my point, though. So they say, but then when it doesn't work out, like they only are here because her husband will only let her get a season pass for her and her two daughters if they have a free place to stay when they come down here. Now, he's also a hardcore Republican who thinks that, you know, you shouldn't get anything for free, but has no problem exploiting me and where I live so that his wife, because they have plenty of money, but he doesn't want to pop for a hotel so his kids can enjoy Disneyland because he's a fucking dick. But he wants to use me and my house. Meanwhile, having conversations when we bought this house with my mother-in-law.
I'm not your brother-in-law.
I know. Please don't yell at me. I know. Woosa. He says, there's no way they could afford that house. I think they're way in and over their head. But in the same breath, we'll say, you could go if you could stay with Justin in this house he can't afford. Because pretty soon it's going to be foreclosed on. So we got to take advantage of the free hotel while we can. Fucking drives me up a wall. So my mother-in-law says all this shit, Sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a minute.
You guys are driving up, and your wife says, she told me that
she yells.
Yell at the
so
kids
that's
too
her
much.
Daughter. Her daughter is that chick who says, I'm going to come and visit you. It's all about family, but only it's because I need a free place to stay so I can take my kids to Disneyland. When we were having my first son, they wanted to come down so that they could be here when we brought him home from the hospital. He was a little bit late for his due date, so I said, don't come Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend. I said, come the following weekend because then he will for sure be here. And then because I knew she could only come on the weekend. Well, she wanted to come on the 3-day weekend, and she really only wanted to come so she could take her daughters to the American Girl store that was at the Grove. That was the only reason she was here, because they literally left the day before my son was born. They literally got in the car and drove back up to Northern California, and then the next day we went to the hospital and Jacob was born. The son that she has is a drug addict who lived in her garage for the longest time as a rat since coming back from the hospital, allegedly recovering from HIV, we don't know. Is now living in a bedroom in the house, but now that he's recovered health-wise, he disappears for weeks on end or whatever. Now, these are her two examples of parenting children.
Wait, are you pitching me a movie right now?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm doing two things. I'm venting and also saying, write this down.
Okay. These are great characters.
So they are. They're absolutely phenomenal, except when you have to look at them. So my problem that I have with this is that, and what I said to my wife was, is that I go, it's really weird for me because it does make me angry. But at the same time, I know I don't give a fuck what that bitch thinks of me. I really could care less. And I think the only thing that makes me angry is the injustice of it. It's the fact that she gets to look at me in my face and blow sunshine up my ass, but then try and weirdly undermine me with my wife, like try to pit my wife against me.
Does she think that your wife doesn't live with you?
Yeah.
And see how you treat your kids all the time?
Right, which is my second level problem. My second level problem was my wife's argument coming to my defense was to say he had a lot going on that week. Like, I know he's abusive to his children, but it's only when his plate is full. And that, so now I'm mad at both of them. Now I'm like, fuck you both. I handle everything for this, for your life that you have here. This, everything that is here is managed by me.
Right.
You go to work, you punch in, you punch out. So what you're supposed to say is you're supposed to say, Mom, there is no amount of yelling that he could or could not do that would not be appropriate for our children. I know
because
my husband is an amazing
dicks.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Whatever it is, who blame whoever it is, but you don't try and make excuses for me when you and I both, because I told her, I said, I know, and I know I'm biased, but I know both of my sons are delightful, wonderful children. I love them. And I said, and it's because I love them that I lean on them. Because what she does is she does no expectation parenting. It's just whatever I could do to blow sunshine up your ass and to get you out of my face.
This is your wife you're talking
this
about?
This is my mother-in-law.
Your mother-in-law, okay.
Whatever. And this is what I love, too. The other thing is my wife has vivid memories of getting beaten with a hairbrush, yet because I raised my voice at my children, who are both very well in the self-esteem department, will constantly hugging and kissing and affectionate, but for some reason I'm being abusive to them. That's what she's trying to say.
Okay, well,
but will not say it to my fucking face.
Well, of course not. She's not going to say it to your face because she doesn't get the same. She's not going to get the same joy out of criticizing you as she would to say it to her daughter when you're not there.
Yeah,
you know, because if it was a real problem, if it was really something like, you know, you're taking
like
your empty.
Them.
Yeah, you're taking your empty vodka bottle and smashing it over there, and not in like a fun way.
No, yeah.
Like in like a get the fuck out of my way, you stupid kids. Why didn't I pull out kind of way?
Yeah.
Then that's a serious problem. And then, you know,
that's a fun way where we're wrestling and having bar fights.
Right. And then oopsie daisies, shards of glass everywhere.
Okay, let's get you stitched up.
Yeah,
I got you.
But I can understand the frustration because we are a new generation of parents. You know, we're really, I was hit. I was hit a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
But my mother will say things to me. You know, I have a 2-year-old who, if anything is on a table, he demands that it's off the table.
It needs to be on the floor.
It needs to be on the floor. So he'll just come with his hand and just whoop, and everything is just on the floor. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Now, I don't just laugh and giggle and say, well, aren't you such a good boy? Did you just knock everything down and now have to pick it up? I don't say that. I'll just say, no, thank you. Okay, yeah. That's not where it belongs. It belongs up here. Please don't touch it again.
You're not even yelling.
I'm not yelling. I mean, I will raise my voice, obviously, yeah. But my mom came to visit once, and she was supposed to – she came on a Friday, mm-hmm. and she was supposed to stay till the following Friday. My husband was out of town, and she left on Tuesday because I asked her –
Time to go.
Because she told me that I am not raising my child the right way because I don't scream and yell at him. And that if I hit him more, he would learn. So it's the complete opposite of what you're dealing with. Yeah. And it's my own mother gossiping to me. And she and I'm basically like, oh, and in my mind, I didn't say this to her because I don't want to start a whole nother, you know, chapter of this fight because we're already focusing on me and what a bad parent I am. But what I wanted to say was, so you want me to beat him like you hit me?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you think is appropriate.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
So if you're not having a good time, then maybe you should leave. And she left.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you talked to her since?
Of course.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's great. That's healthy.
I have. And I talked to her as we're driving to the airport, as I'm driving her to Burbank Airport. I'm talking to her like I would speak to my 2-year-old. I said, you know what? We'll try again another time. It didn't work this time, but we'll try again another time. You know, she's like, okay, we'll try again. That's what I say to my kid.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, you threw a fit at the zoo. Let's try again
tomorrow.
We'll try again. It didn't work out today.
We'll do Thanksgiving, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, yeah, that actually might be the next time she comes to visit. But I understand where your anger's coming from.
My anger is the two things, I think. Tell me if I'm wrong here. My anger is two things is really the injustice of it. That it to me, it just isn't right that she could be so fucked up. And so because the other part of it was is that she laughingly, condescendingly said to my wife, how you doing with that mortgage? Now, mind you, this is a bitch who can't swing her $700 a month mortgage off of $3,000 between her pension and her Social Security that her husband gets and all this stuff, right?
Right.
And she, Natalie, has had to help them modify their home loan twice in the last 8 years to make it so that they can afford it. And yet she's going to get up on a soapbox and worry about, like, to me, I feel like you don't tell me how to live my life and what I do unless you've got it figured out. You've got it mastered, like, let's get the middle-aged son living in your house out on his own before you start writing parenting books.
Sure.
And then let's also figure out a way to not constantly put yourself in debt and make it your daughter's problem to fix every 5 years before you start doling out financial advice or judgment.
So it sounds like to me.
I have one more thing.
Oh, okay.
Here's my thing, too. Secondly, is that my mom, my stepmom and my dad are very involved in our lives, have always been, and very helpful and kind and everything like that.
I've met them.
Right.
I thought your stepmom was from Middle Earth.
Yes, because the Azores, yes.
Yes, it's a made up place.
My real mom, for reasons that are fine, I'm okay with it now because of some therapy, but she bailed after my parents had a divorce, and she had her own troubled childhood that I'm sure she's worked through and all that stuff, but it's not the same. Now, if my real mother was this rude, disrespectful to my wife, to her face or behind her back, we would never see her again. I would never force my wife to look at her or to deal with her in any way, shape, or form because my wife does not deserve to be treated that way. Now, if it was my parents that were doing it, I still would not tolerate it. There would be a conversation, but I would give them, we'll try this again. But if you don't get it, because this is my wife. This is my new life. You raised me. Your job is done. You're not supposed to meddle anymore. Yet I'm supposed to be expected just to constantly be like, oh, well, that's just Barbara being Barbara. That's it. And those are my things.
Yes. I value your emotions. I'm hearing your words.
Yes.
And
that's all I really want.
They are valuable.
Thank you.
And I know that they mean a lot to you.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now, stop your fucking whining.
Okay.
That's my advice to you.
All right. Well, that was our show. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in. Look, that's what parents do.
Right.
It sounds like to me, and I have a degree from SDSU, so you can trust me.
Oh.
In
that's
acting.
That's the San Diego
in,
University?
Yeah, in acting. In acting. Oh, okay. So you can trust me. It sounds like you just kind of don't like them for a lot of different reasons, and it really wouldn't matter what she says. It just matters that she's talking. Mm. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter if she's giving you compliments and then talking about you behind your back, or if she's saying, how's that mortgage? And then, her family staying here for free or whatever it is, like all the issues. It kind of, I feel like on a general just level, you just don't like them as people.
But why can't it be because of that stuff that I don't like?
Because it doesn't matter what they say, it sounds like to me. It really, like, I guarantee you, if she didn't say that and maybe said something about your cooking or the food that you're giving your kids, like, gosh.
Oh, I see. What you're saying is because my examples are, there's examples of her failing her children as a parent and then failing herself financially.
I just feel like you don't like her just kind of on a general level. You know when you don't like someone?
I agree.
You know when you don't like someone? Really, anything they do, you just don't like. Do you see what I'm saying? It wouldn't matter if she talked about your parenting or your gardening.
So from your perspective on the outside looking in, you saying there's a lot of me making a mountain out of an anthill?
Well, I understand why you're doing it, because you don't like her. So I understand that. You know, it's like, for example, let's just choose someone in the news that society has said, hey, you person on the cover of Us Weekly every week, we don't like you, we think you're a fuck up, right? Paula Deen. So kind of anything she does now that we realized she's really inappropriate with her employees and racial relations and whatever. So now we're just going to not like anything she does. Okay. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
these biscuits don't taste as good? No.
Right. Well, because she probably killed a Mexican while making them or whatever. You know what I mean? Like that's how I feel about my father-in-law. Is he a bad person? No. Is he kind of just a dick because he doesn't know how to be different? Yeah. Yes. So everything he says.
But my mother-in-law's kind of a bad person.
But sure. Right. Sure. I mean, again, she probably in her own way probably means well. Here's how I see it. And I'm not trying to be I'm the president of Sunshine, right?
Yes.
I'm not trying to be like, yay. But I really do feel, and this is not a hard, fast rule, there are many exceptions, most people are operating at the best that they can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people can't operate at a really good level. You know what I mean? They're just barely getting by. They can barely get dressed and put three words together.
Okay.
But that's just that. But that's their best. And you can't do anything about it. It's like when you're driving on the freeway and someone cuts you off. And in that moment, that was the only thing they could do. They're just acting like a dick. And they don't care about anybody else. But in that moment, they're just like, I got to get over. You know what I mean? I got to get off. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't paying attention. Or, you know, I'm just selfish. But selfish is their best level.
Yes. That is definitely her. That is her to a T.
Right?
Yes.
You know, like my father-in-law. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
It's not a story that I've even said on my own podcast, so... You know,
exclusive!
You guys better pay $2 for this, bitches. Listen up. My kid has a peanut allergy.
Uh-huh.
We dropped him off when he was about a year and a half at my in-laws.
I love this already.
Who live here in the Valley. Yeah. You know, they live near us, and we're very... I'm very grateful for that, because my parents live in San Francisco. It's far away. And we drop him off. My husband said, please... I know you like to eat peanut M&Ms. I am begging you, do not have peanut M&Ms in our house, in your house, when our kid is going to be there. Okay? Have them before. Swim in them. Bathe in them before.
Mainline them.
Get rid of them when he's there.
Yep.
When we leave, when we pick him up and leave.
I will come with a bag of plain M&Ms.
Shove them up your ass.
Yeah.
We don't care. Okay? We don't care. Crush them into your eyeballs.
Yes.
Okay? We don't care. But also, by the way, even without a peanut allergy, peanut M&Ms.
Choke.
Choking hazard for any kid.
Yeah.
They're shiny and colorful and round, and right? What do we see when we get there?
Peanut
M&Ms. And my husband loses his mind.
Like, does it, here's what
in a bowl, on a coffee table, like at kid level.
Like, but is that his usual, like, here's the thing. is that his usual candy bowl place, or is it a statement? Is it like,
I don't know,
new M&M like theme to coffee table, like
right.
and a planter's guy in the corner where you put your coat,
right, like they were both wearing peanut oil and sunscreen that day, and instead of Febreze, they peanut spray
for lunch.
House.
I made Thai food. Come on,
yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. I know that he likes sweets and treats. Yeah. I've never seen a peanut bowl, peanut M&M bowl. I've never seen any kind of candy bowl, but I know he is a junk food addict.
Okay.
So he likes cookies and all that kind of stuff.
I want peanut M&Ms after this conversation.
Oh, I have one inside of me right now.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Don't know what that means. But...
Yeah, I don't know either.
I think we have to stop.
I think I have to use the ladies' room. So we get there. My husband loses his mind, understandably.
Yeah.
Okay. Our kid's a year and a half. Oh. We just found out. And my father-in-law says, if you don't like it, this is my house. If you don't like it, get out and don't come back.
Okay.
So we haven't been back.
Right.
So
they come over to your guys' house?
Oh, no. My father-in-law has only seen my kid maybe 2 or 3 times in the last year.
Holy shit. Wow.
And he lives...
Over peanut M&Ms.
He chose peanut M&Ms over his grandchild.
Yeah.
So do you feel better about your mother-in-law now? Is my question. Because
I feel like I found a kindred spirit. That's what I feel. Right. I don't feel better about her.
But she would never...
I wish I was wired like you. You seem to be very tolerant, and all I want to do is grab people and shake them and say, knock it the fuck off. I don't want to do that to everybody that I disagree with.
Here's why I'm calm about it. This man is 66.
Uh-huh.
I am not going to change him.
That's
if my
point.
2-year-old... with a severe peanut allergy. We don't know how severe it is. Who wants to find out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Potential, right? There's a potential there. And by the way, there's a potential for any kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
You never know. That's one of those things with allergies.
Until it happens.
Right.
Or you have a test.
Right.
Which is not like is mandatory. In fact, we tried to ask and they go, we don't really like to do that unless they show signs.
Right.
That sounds like a solid progressive way to do it.
Okay. So you chose candy.
Right.
With red number yellow, or whatever those, like, you know, those bad dyes that everyone's talking about, like it has red number 5 in it, whatever. You chose candy over your grandson. So obviously, there's nothing that I'm going to say or do to change you.
I don't want to change her. I want her to go away.
Okay.
That's
not going to happen.
It will if I yell at her. Because here's what happens. So the sister-in-law that I told you, that's Natalie's sister, she has a husband who has been a dick to her. And so she hates him. And so they have little or nothing to do with him. It's very limited. And they live in the same town.
So do you really want your sons to not have a relationship with one of their grandparents?
Yes.
Why?
Because she's damaged. Here's the other thing. One of the scariest things about me deciding to marry Natalie when I first knew that I wanted to was that there is a large similarity between her mother and my real mom's mother. And so my dad always had this thing where he said, if you're looking for a wife, he said, it's not steadfast. He said, but if you look at her mom, there is a strong statistical chance that that is who she will be in 20 to 40 years. So if you look at her and you go, I can hang with that, then I'll go for launch. He said, now, admittedly, I am a man who had a divorce and a failed marriage. So what do I know?
Now, is it same for dudes?
I don't know. He was
like, is my husband going to turn into his father?
Hope not.
I need paperwork today.
I like the idea, though, of it being like a slow werewolf turn into where he's like, I am craving peanut M&Ms like crazy.
When my husband and I were just dating, my sister-in-law, her son, we basically started dating when her son was born. So I've seen my nephew grow up in front of my eyes, right?
Uh-huh.
He was maybe like, I can't remember, 4 or 5 years old. Not older than 5, for sure.
Yeah.
And we were at my in-law's house. My sister-in-law had dropped off her son because she had to either go away, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he was there staying with his grandparents. And my father-in-law was sitting in like one of those Archie Bunker easy chairs type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my nephew was sitting in front of him on the floor. And I remember my father-in-law, not in a hard way, not to cause pain or anything, used his foot to kind of kick him and nudge him like, hey, kid. And kind of nudged him with his foot.
Wow.
And I'm dating my husband at the time. And I thought, if me and Mike ever get married and we have a child and I see that shit go down.
Yeah.
I will be in jail for murder. You will come visit me and do a podcast from... Will they allow podcasts in a jail cell?
They allow podcasts. And podcasts are everywhere.
Anywhere, right?
Okay. You probably will still be doing a podcast in jail.
I could even do my own. Okay, that's cool. Then then I will kill him. Because that, to me, you do not... You don't nudge my kid with your foot in a kicking fashion.
Yeah.
Not in a cute way. Not like in a toes tickling kind of...
Disrespectful, like this. You're a dog.
Like I'm showing it to your podcast listeners. Let's I don't know, put this on Vine, whatever. But hey,
Yeah.
Like a donkey shooing a fly with its back hind legs, No. Yeah. And I know my sister-in-law's reaction would have been, excuse me, she knows what her father, who he is, you know what I mean? She knows. But I don't think he's a bad person. He just doesn't know how to behave differently.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have the social skills.
I like that theory. I'm gonna try and...
So she's just operating it the way she knows how to operate.
Well, that's what the therapist said to Natalie about it, that he's like, she's very primitive, and so you have to treat her in a primitive fashion.
That's it. Like, imagine using a Commodore computer right now. Would you expect it to get Wi-Fi and be online?
Yeah.
Like, why can't I download iTunes on this? Well, it doesn't have the operating system.
That is, you have opened my eyes to something, Kira Sultanovich, because I have to figure out why. I know it's because I am like my father in that because my father's actually, funny enough, going through the same thing with his mother-in-law on some level. Only it's progressed in that. The mother-in-law can't really take care of herself, and so now it's looking like she's going to have to move in with him, which my dad is like, it's fine, but where we live, she won't come. So my dad's like, we can either put it in an assisted living, or you can go move in with her, he said, because I'm not moving in with her.
Right.
And it's the same kind of situation. When my stepmom got pregnant when she was 16, and her mom said, you made your bed, now you lay in it, and kicked her out of the house. And so she went and married her husband.
And then she said, that's how I got pregnant.
Kind of.
I made a bed.
Yeah, exactly. I was, and then
out of the backseat of this car.
Over. And it was over.
And I laid in it.
So her mom chose this stepsister because she had money and so could kind of take care of her. She married an older man after her husband died. And then so what came along with this older man after he passed was this stepsister. And so she hung out with her and didn't really do things with my mom or have anything. My mom never went back, never asked her for anything, that kind of thing. And so then the stepsister was kind of an evil stepsister. And when she passed away, left no money.
Are you pitching me another movie right
now?
I know.
Left her no money. This would be great if Richard Pryor was still with us. It would be like one of his comedic roles, but serious, but she left her no money. And so now she doesn't have a pot to piss in and is barely, she's living off of stew for the rest of her life, kind of thing is what it looks like. And so that's kind of a bummer. My dad, he doesn't like the injustice of, he threw you out when you were a child.
Yeah.
And said, go figure it out.
Yeah.
You're the one that screwed up. But then when it's her that messed up and made a bad decision, why does it that you have to come back and pick up the slack? And so that's why I know.
The problem is you guys are all searching for justice.
Yes.
And
we are the Justice League of Rednecks. Which, by the way, is the third film I'm pitching to you today.
I'm listening. You might be a Justice League redneck if you're looking for justice within families, and that does not exist.
Oh.
No.
I wonder if it does in my family, though. Like, because one would reason, from the outside looking in, that if I come from a product where my dad's doing the same thing, I'm upset about the same thing, then there would be examples of like, well, that's just what's fair and right in my own family.
No, but you guys are seeking justice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's impossible. It's impossible to seek justice within a family. Within
a family unit.
Yes. Oh, when you get a divorce, because you're saying we're no longer going to be a family anymore. Now we're going to go to court, and now a judge is going to bang on with a gavel and say,
literally get
this
justice.
This is the justice. You get this. You guys split up that. Here's the money. You're done.
But by nature, families are supposed to be malleable there's no hard lines. And
so what you're going to do is you're just going to bang your head against a wall.
Yeah.
Okay?
And that's life.
And that's
hence
life.
Hence your stop whining.
Right.
I like it.
So what you can do is you can say, I choose not to like you, which you can choose that. You don't have to like your mother-in-law.
Good.
If she's not doing anything harmful to your children, and your wife now, hopefully she's not hitting it with a hairbrush now.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean by harmful.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Words hurt. Words hurt.
That's I think also where a good chunk, not all, I think it's mostly to do with the injustice part, like I said, but
my
probably 40% of it is that I just don't like that every interaction that my wife has with her. If my wife loved her mother and thought the world of her, and then that would be a different kind of fight, I guess, and maybe I'd be more willing to suck it up, but it's
right.
Because these are people that bring nothing but heartache and pain,
right.
So why do we have them? Why do they exist?
I understand. Okay, I'm going to go back to my father-in-law.
Okay.
He kicks my nephew, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. He has peanut M&Ms in our house, in his house. I'm sorry, I keep saying our house. In mm-hmm. his house, when we've asked him not to because it could send our child into anaphylactic shock.
Mm-hmm.
He won't learn how to use the EpiPen, by the way, either. He will not learn. There's a little dummy stunt
yeah.
one, right, that you get in the package. Doesn't want to. I don't care. I don't want to learn.
Not my problem.
Right. But he has one good quality is he is a master craftsman with like wood.
Mm-hmm.
So he has taught my 10-year-old nephew how to build things. He's taught him to take something from the raw, like just a piece of wood.
I see what you're saying.
And so he does have one good quality. And my sister-in-law is begging us to say, look, he could be really insane and deplorable in so many other aspects of life.
Yeah.
He has made my mother-in-law cry on Thanksgiving, you know, but he has this one good thing. We're just going to concentrate
everybody
on the one good thing. They made a birdhouse. You know, it's important for a child to see,
right.
Like, if you apply yourself, if you envision, use your creativity,
mm-hmm.
you know, use materials, right, all that kind of stuff. That
my dad built that squirrel feeder in the tree with my son. He's the same way as your father-in-law.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So it teaches them something. Like, we did something with our hands, and we used our imagination and our minds,
yep.
and maybe blueprints. Like, who knows, right?
Brought something that was a concept to reality.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do think that's an important quality.
I agree.
Now, my husband could probably do the same thing. He's very crafty, right? That's why I married a goyim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
He did our kitchen, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're very good at that.
Right. So, but you know, there is... So if you can find that one... quality. You might have to real dig. It might be like a garage sale. Hey, junkyard, bring your two-year-old, right?
Uh-huh.
It might be a dig. Dig for that one quality she has. There must be something. And you just concentrate on that.
All right, I'll try.
And try to forget all the rest.
And
if it doesn't work out, fuck her.
Yeah. Well, that's my new approach with her is that I'm no longer biting my tongue. So like, for instance, we were just at her house. This is after I found out all this stuff. And it almost came to a head. Here's what I told my wife. I said, I am going to do my damnedest to be a nice person because I love you more than anything in this world. And it is only because of that love that I know that it could make you uncomfortable if your mother and I go head to head. But what I am asking you to understand and return in compassion for me is that there could come a time where she will push me. And there will be a nuclear reaction emotionally that will happen.
Sure.
And I will lose my shit.
And then
her
she'll
face.
Say, see, he has an anger problem.
He's yelling at me
see,
now.
He's yelling.
And I said, so you just have to understand that there's a strong chance that this is going to come to a head at some point.
Sure.
I go, and as long as you could just try to prepare yourself mentally for that and what that's going to mean for you or whatever, I go, I'm not even going to ask you how you should react because I don't know what it's going to be. I'm just saying, just be forewarned.
Yeah.
As fair as I could be about this. So we're at the house. And my mother-in-law says to me, she goes, oh, my gosh, Justin, your hair is so pretty. So what she's talking about is that I have a lot of gray hair, right? And so
I mean, you really do.
I do.
I
have
a lot. You obviously don't want to work in Hollywood anymore.
No, not on camera. This is my only work right here. This sweet, sweet thing. Nobody has to look at my atrocious.
For those of you guys, just so you know, he just teabagged the microphone.
That's right. Right on my face the way I like it. But yeah, so, and I just started laughing out loud. And she was like, what? No. And everybody in the room knows. And this is the only thing I could do because I love my father-in-law dearly. He is a sweet man that they do not make men like that like him anymore. It's just
yeah.
It doesn't happen. He's falling apart. He's taking the trash out with his walker where he puts his walker in the trash bag and then pulls the trash can out and then takes the walker out of the top and then walks back in. While they're shopping for a car, his wife was complaining about the noise this walker would. Pick it up, Ron. Pick it up, she kept saying because his walker was making noise while they were trying to find a car and she finds it embarrassing that she has to be associated with him?
Little does she know that he scrapes it on purpose because it irritates her.
Yes. If honestly, if he could pick it up, he would, because he is such a decent, good man and so much better than I am in every way, shape, or form. Because if that's what it was, I would put nails underneath it and chalkboards underneath it to make it louder. I would amplify it somehow, hollow out the core of it so that it would resonate like a Greek choir mask or something, you know? And that's just who she is. And so I laugh, and I said, he laughs when I give her shit because he can't. He doesn't live my life, right. You know? He doesn't get to leave eventually. Right. So I laugh and I said, you know what? Your hair's pretty too, Barbara. Like, I go, you're so pretty. Everything is so pretty. And then she brought it up again. And then she brought out a picture of me from when I was younger to say, look at your hair here. Like, really trying to drive home that I have gray hair, expecting me to care. Like, because she can't comprehend because she tries so hard to hide her age.
First of all, your hair for a dude is totally awesome.
It's very great. I look 5 to 10 years older than what I actually am.
No, you
which
don't.
Is fine.
I'll tell you why. You do not. You do not. I mean, because you have a major baby face. You're so immature that no one will ever think.
Yeah, when I have my PlayStation controller in my hand,
right,
it really
right,
helps.
Right. Like, pew, 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 pew. And you're humping my leg like a 2-year-old. Honestly, I'm being 100% honest. Jokes aside, I really do like it. It's cool for a dude. It's totally different.
I don't care. That's the reality of it is that here's my point, though. My point is that I laugh at it because I'm like, it's sad that you think that I care about what you think.
Right.
And that you think that I care about that. Like,
right.
I am a guy who literally wears cargo shorts and a T-shirt and a baseball cap every fucking day of my life. Do you think that when a guy looks like that, that there's any inkling of him going, you know, say yes to the dress? You know what I mean? There is nothing about me that says Bravo Network.
Say yes to the
I look
dress.
At that and go, that is such a colossal waste of time. Now, if my wife came to me and said, if you could throw a polo into the mix, that would make it so much better for me, I would, of course, do it. I would do it. I shave when I itch. That's how I live my life. That is the closest to being a manly man that I am, is that I have a uniform.
I shave when I itch too.
That's right.
Yeah,
damn
my
it.
Husband
That's...
complains about it.
But I just, and I said,
think she's just looking. She likes to criticize.
Yeah, she likes to poke.
That's just her thing.
Right.
She thinks she's connecting with you somehow if she's criticizing you. My mother does the same exact thing.
Oh, God, I hate
my
it.
Mother will say, you know, here is some money for the spa. Go enjoy yourself. Go get the facial. Oh, thanks, Mom. Because you look terrible. You just need to have like a steam sauna.
Maybe that's what she needs, is an amusing foreign accent.
If then she had an accent.
My mother-in-law would be a delightful character.
What if she said, you got a lot of gray hair in there, do you?
I would laugh. It would be like one of Jeff Dunham's puppets.
Yeah, exactly.
Would,
I know. It's funnier when it's coming out of
character.
Out of cotton and his hand is up its ass. I don't know. I think she... You know, my mother... Here's what my mother said to me once. And my kid started speaking. It was really verbal at an extremely young age.
Yeah.
Like, even our doctor was like... Okay, you know what? This is kind of this is interesting. You know, like he was putting two words together.
Would you like
easily.
To play a game?
Yeah, exactly. Mommy, I have a peanut allergy. So, my mom, I was like, Mom, look, check it out. And he was, you know, not even a year and a half yet. And I would show him like something in a book, like, what's this, Brayden? And he'd be like, son, right? Like, just
That's
totally,
awesome.
Yeah. And I go, Mom, he's like so smart, which every parent says. But I was just, you know, my first kid, right? You're excited. And my mom says, it has nothing to do with you. Meaning, it's not because you talk to him all the time.
Yeah.
It's not because you read to him constantly. It's not because you are always listening to music and you're, you know, we're always doing like fun little games and I keep him active and I'm always, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with you, she said.
Yeah.
So that's just their thing. You know, that's just their
thing. Maybe that's what it is that it's so hard for me to process it because my parents had examples of not necessarily being sunshine blowers. You know what I mean? But my parents have always been supportive and kind and
but what I'm saying is, again, it's coming out of her mouth.
Yeah.
Because you hate the person that's attached to the mouth.
Yes.
Anything
it's a bigger
she
deal.
Says. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything she says. Yeah. My father-in-law blew up a picture of me. I do this bit on stage where he blew it up. He made it huge. And he put it like in an album, like it's framed, like it's a huge thing. It's not just something he has like on his phone. Let's say like if he had a smartphone, which he doesn't. But you know what I mean? He blew it up. And I look so fucking Jewy. I can't even tell you. I'm staring at money. That's how Jewy I'm looking. My kid found a dollar bill and an Easter egg, right? And he's holding it up, and it's an Easter egg hunt, and we're all like, you know, wearing our pastels. And he holds it up to my father-in-law. And my father-in-law took a picture of my kid going, look, and there's an Easter egg in his hand and a dollar. He's like, I found the dollar bill. And I'm behind my kid, crouched over, like, I look like Gargamel meets Golda Meir, like the most Hasidic look on anyone's face in the history of Jews. I'm like this, money, and I'm reaching out, and I cannot tell you how disturbed I was when I saw this picture, and they blew it up, and he framed it. He put it like in a photo album thing. Like he took the trouble to put on display my Judaism.
Right. But okay.
What I'm saying is,
that's probably not his real motive.
It might be.
I see.
But what am I going to do?
Right.
How am I going to teach a 60-year-old man who eats a box of Entenmann's for breakfast? How am I going to teach him how to live more decent? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, he thinks it's okay to blow up a picture where someone looks terrible. If you were blinking in a picture and your mother-in-law blew it up, you'd probably shoot her. But because it's her.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like,
I see
no
what
one,
you mean.
Why would you blow up? Why would you go through the trouble?
Yes.
You can't Photoshop me out.
No. Nope.
You can't find another picture.
Yeah.
You want me to look terrible
because
you hate me.
That's a personal attack.
It's a personal
on you.
Attack.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I got a bit out of it.
Yeah.
And I'm moving on.
Maybe that's what I should do. I'll write a whole album about how much I hate my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
That'd be fun to do, like an oldie-timey kind of one-liner joke of...
Call it motherfucker-in-law.
I hate my mother-in-law so much. And the crowd could do, how much?
How much?
And then I could just come up with some kind of zinger.
You might be a mother-in-law if... Yeah, I'd say there's bumper stickers involved. I see a future for you.
That's awesome. Well, how much? Oh my gosh, we did it, Kira Sultanovich.
We did it.
Oh yes, the Puito, whatever he says. Is it Dora? Isn't that the song?
We did it.
Yes, we did. All right, let's do some moments of the week and wrap up. Does that sound like fun to you?
It sounds like a blast.
All right, we got a little song we play.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them.
Or kick them sometimes.
But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
My moment of the week. Are you okay on time? I just realized that we went long and...
I'm good.
Okay, good. My moment of the week is I had an event that I did for the Sprout Network this weekend up in Sacramento.
Mm.
And it comes with a hotel or whatever. So we got to stay at this hotel. We had a two-queen with a couch suite and had the fold-out bed. And so I brought the whole family and
nice.
It was fun. And I just like the idea of watching my boys play in a hotel. Like, they jump around on the beds. And I'll probably put it up on the Facebook page because they found this game where they would get up on the arm of the couch and jump onto the bed part of the sofa bed and then flip. Like, so my two-year-old found a way to where he could jump and then hit his knees first in a way that it would catapult him over. And he just thought this was the most fun thing in the world. And we wrestled in the room. And it's been a while since, because my two-year-old has always been too little, and so the older one wants to wrestle, and when I start wrestling with him, somehow, like, I'm always afraid that the little one is going to get an elbow to the face or something like that, so I have to be consciously aware of both of them at the same time, so it's kind of downplayed it, but this time I got to wrestle around with my boys and, you know, tickle them and stuff like that, and I needed it, especially with all this bullshit with my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
It was just a nice, happy, like, oh, this
that
is...
That sounds
this
sweet.
This is one of those... It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of
testosterone. Testosterone
yes.
party.
Yeah, yeah. When you, well, yeah, two boys, and that's what I do. So do you...
So the moment of the week is just something fun and cool.
Yeah, like a cute, like... The tone of my show and my personality, I think, is that sometimes I complain. Yeah, angry. Okay. I yell a lot. I complain. And so we like to button it with something that's like, oh, it's not, because it isn't. It's not all bad. And I like to make fun of the idea that these little moments actually end up making everything else, you know, better. But you might have a different opinion of parenting than that, I guess.
I mean, I would never yell.
That's number
no,
one.
I yell all the time. I actually speak to my child sometimes in a satanic register of my voice.
I say, you shut up right now.
Roll your eyes back.
Yeah, I do. What I like to do is I like to trick him with a story. So my moment of the week is last night at Bath. Uh-huh. You know, like I take whatever happened during the day, and let's say, you know, he didn't cooperate during dinner, or let's say he threw a tantrum at the zoo, right, mm-hmm. or whatever he did that day. At the end of the day, we do makeup story time. So I get him out of the bathtub. We also have this little ritual where I like roll him up in the bath towel like a little burrito, right? And then he sits on my lap and I'm drying him off and I tell him the story and I go, what animals do you want in the story? Because I let him cast it, right?
Awesome.
And he goes, I want a baby giraffe and a baby elephant. And I say, once upon a time, there was a baby giraffe and the baby giraffe was having dinner. And the mommy elephant said, baby giraffe, time to eat all of your vegetables. And the baby giraffe said, I don't wanna, and threw a big fit and had a big kippish. Kippish is Yiddish for fit. Okay.
Awesome.
It's what Jews say. Money! So I basically do a story of all the shit that Brayden did that drove me crazy all day.
Really?
But try to put it like in a kind of like, and the moral of the story is, listen to me.
Shut the fuck up.
Listen to me when I say get in the car. So I do like this little wrap up and he listens and he loves it because it's like
it's
he's
story,
cast the
fun,
animals
yeah.
and he kind of gets like, this sounds familiar.
Nah.
Is this me? No, she couldn't talk to me.
I'm
about
not a baby
me.
Elephant.
I'm not a baby elephant. Why would I be the one throwing a tantrum in the grocery store? I'm pretty cool. I just knock shit off the shelves. That's all I do.
That's not a tantrum.
He tried to take off the little debit machine thing that you run your car. He's like, I want this. Like he wanted to take it home with us. So I do, and then the baby elephant wouldn't let the mommy elephant check out at Gelson's. So I make it very specific. And I just love the way listens.
He's so young. You got to get the point across.
Right.
Yeah, you can't be subtle.
And so he listens and I just feel like, so can you tomorrow, can we try again? That's my moral of everything. Like, so we'll just try again tomorrow. Don't be a douche tomorrow. The end. And it's just such a sweet, cuddly, sweet moment where he, you know, that wet face after a bath where the hair is all wet.
And they're kind of chilly, so they always want you to hug them and rub them.
You're dabbing at their eyes and you kind of hold their face and you say, don't do that ever again. So that's my moment.
That's a sweet, sweet moment.
Thanks.
All right. Well, that was our show. You could send an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/dadpodcast. Don't forget, because I'm going to be doing it. I think actually we had to reschedule for Rachel Gibbs, our family and sex therapist. You can send in your questions to questions@thedadpodcast.com. I think that's it. You can find Kira on KiraComedy.com. Is that right?
Yes, and it's thekirashow.com for the
Kira,
podcast.
K-I-R-A, and I'll throw a link in the description on this show.
Yeah, and they can find the podcast. If they literally just look up K-I-R-A in iTunes, it'll come up.
Yeah. And so we talked about it a little bit, but the gist of your show is you have other parents that are also stand-up comics.
Very focused.
Yeah.
We talk about our kids, our comedy, and how our kids cock block our comedy.
Awesome.
And we're excited to have you on.
And here's the thing. I think that it would be ill-received if a listener was listening to that going, oh, well, it sounds like it's a parenting podcast for comedians. That's a negative. That is, if you like to laugh, right? What you're really listening to is comedians, funny people, talking about your lifestyle, because parents are obviously interested.
On the road.
Or don't necessarily have to be parents.
Right.
And there's always going to be funny anecdotes. And then as another tasty morsel, you get to also get some insight into the world of a stand-up comedian, right?
Well, yes. I mean, the show is whatever you want it to be. I'm not going to tell people, like, it's a show about parenting advice. I mean, if you get some advice from it, great. Yeah. But we're not there to give advice necessarily. We should have a disclaimer. Anything that you hear or say is not the direct expression of our... But what it is it's two of the things I like to talk about the most.
Yeah.
I love to talk to comics. I love to talk shop with comics. It's my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying earlier, the green room. And I just hanging out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love to talk about kids because we're living it every day, right? So I just combine the two.
And don't you feel, it seems to me that is, and maybe that's another dynamic of your show, is that it's such a, for me, it's a large source of material. Like, that's almost all of my material. That's everything because it's my life. And it's so funny because there are these, it's these sweet moments mixed with frustration. Like, it's the like what you just told with your story.
Right.
It's like, listen, eat your vegetables, all right? Okay, I love you. Like,
right. And I've had a really good time. I'm new to it, so I'm looking forward to having a veteran like yourself on.
That's right. Buckle up. It's going get ready for it to get clunky.
How many podcasts have you done?
Me personally? I had a weekly one for 5 years, and then this one for is another second weekly one for another 4 years, 3 years.
Oh, holy cow! All right.
So
I'm gonna learn a lot.
All I do is talk though. But you could also follow Kira on Twitter at Kira Comedy, and all that stuff. What else? Oh, the big one too. You mentioned it in the show. I want to say thank you to everybody who is becoming a paid subscriber. You could do $2 a month or $24 a year. All you got to do is go to thedadpodcast.com, and there's an option there. And if everybody who listens to the show becomes a paid subscriber to support the show, changes my life, this could be my job.
Please, please, you guys. I am sitting...
I will stop yelling at my
children. ...on a homemade squirrel house right now. He can't even afford a chair. I am begging you guys.
Yeah, it's...
There are peanut shells like an oldie-time saloon all over the floor. That's what he's using as actual... like flooring, please, yeah, please subscribe.
Really,
it's just deplorable.
Yeah,
these conditions.
I think a fly has landed on my eyelashes 3 times during this episode alone, and I appreciate you maintaining focus and not.
Well, for the cost of a cup of coffee,
right?
You guys could support
less than
a soy latte.
Yeah, you could change a person's life, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm Sally Struthers. Is that who did that? Sally Struthers, wasn't she the
one? She has a lot of gray hair too.
Oh fuck. On behalf of my good friend Kira Sultanovich, this is Justin Worship saying stay frosty.